Good morning. Won't be long, we'll be done with the book of Matthew. A couple years, maybe. We're getting there. So what are we talking about? What's our topic? Eschatology. Yeah, we got a few more weeks of that. We'll finish up chapter 25, and then we'll move on. But then there's only 28 chapters in the Gospel of Matthew, so it won't be long. We'll be getting to the end of this book. But we're going to continue talking about eschatology for a couple more weeks. And if you want to know how to spell it, that's how you spell eschatology. But what, as I mentioned before, I'm going to review again for you. We're just going to kind of race through it and get us up to the text for today. But remember that the disciples were asking Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end of the age? And this is specifically Jesus answering that question. So fasten your seatbelts. I'm going to race through what we've been through already. So they ask that question, and then Jesus gives them this big picture of what the signs will be. And he said there's a lot of coughing going on today, so I'm going to talk a little louder. There'll be many false Christs and false prophets. You all right, Todd?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Get you some water. So many false Christs and false prophets, wars and rumors of wars, famines, plagues, and earthquakes like you've never seen. The entire world hating and killing Christians. Loved ones will betray one another. Lawlessness like never before. People hopeless and loveless. True believers will endure to the end and be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom of God will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. So that was the big picture. Then he gets more specific. We studied this already as well. He said, so when you see the abomination of desolation, when you see the Antichrist come into the temple in Jerusalem, set up his throne, and demand the whole world worship him, he says, then you'll know you're in that last 3.5 years of the 7 years of tribulation, and things start to get really bad. And what are we supposed to do when that happens? Run. Flee. Go hide in the mountains. Go hide wherever you can just to get away, because the Antichrist and his demonic army are going to overcome the world like it's never been overcome before. And the main thing he wants to kill is all the Jews, and he wants to kill all those that believe in Jesus Christ. So that's what's going to happen. And Jesus said, so when this comes, that's what you must do, flee. And we know that that's when the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowl judgments come, and things get terrible. Now, Jesus gave this other teaching that we looked at. He says, so here we are, we're all hiding out for those that are left behind. And as I've told you, I believe those are not believers yet, but a lot of them will come to Christ, which I'll show you today. But he said, when you're hiding out, there's going to be people coming to you and saying, look, here's the Christ, come see him. He's delivering people, he's healing people. And what did he say? He said that, I've told you beforehand. See, I've told you beforehand. Don't listen to them. Do not follow them. It's a trap. Don't go out into the wilderness to see this so-called Christ, because it is not the Christ. He's just trying to pull anybody else he can out of hiding so he can kill them as well. He said, so how will you know what is the sign that I'll be coming? He said, just like a lightning storm that fills the dark sky, it'll be that clear to you that I'm returning, that Jesus Christ is returning from the heavens. He said, because on that day, the sun will go dark, the moon will go dark, and all the stars will fall from the heavens, and there will be a great glorious thunder from the heavens, and that'll be the pronouncement that I'm returning. It'll be undeniable evidence. That's when you come out of your cave, or from your trailer, wherever you're hiding out. We don't have a lot of caves in Illinois. Yeah, so we're going to come out, and we'll know, it'll be very clear to us, and we'll look up into the heavens, those that are here, and it'll be this glorious cloud filled with lightning and thunder as the very Son of God comes down to reclaim his lost. I love this too. It says that all will mourn, and he says, then I will send out my angels with a loud trumpet call, and he will go around and gather up all those who believe. Yeah. Exciting. And then we looked at this last week. And this is just a very simple, straightforward illustration that Jesus gives that even a Jewish child would understand. He said, from the fig tree, learn its lessons. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you will know that it's summer. Summer is near. He said, so also when you see all these things, what things? The things he just told us about. When you see all those things, you'll know that he is near, that Jesus is near. He's at the very gates of heaven, ready to come back and reclaim his children, the believers. And we talked a lot about this last week. We got into some specific pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib stuff. And the, basically, who is this generation that will be living on the earth? I believe that it will be those that are not saved yet. Many of them will be saved during that time. But that's who he's coming back. And that's the generation that will see all these things come to pass. All right, now open your Bibles. We'll pick up right there, continuing with Matthew 24, verse 36. And we will dig into this a little bit today. And Charles is going to open the Word for us. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 24, verse 36 through 51 is what we're going to go through today. Charles, if you could talk right into this. Alfred's asked me to.
Okay. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Charles. You know, this past Sunday, the grandkids come over most Sundays, and we were playing one of our favorite games, which is hide-and-seek. Anybody ever play hide-and-seek? You know, and kids are so fun to watch because they cover up their eyes, and then, you know, one of them has to count to 10, right? 1,000, 2,000, and then they take their hands. What do they say after that? Ready or not, here I come, right? And then you hear all the kids screaming because they haven't found a hiding place yet, and it's kind of chaotic, and it's just a lot of fun for Grandpa to sit there and watch this. But really, that's the title of our teaching today. Jesus says to us, ready or not, here I come. And the sad reality is just like those little kids running to screaming, trying to find a hiding place, when Jesus does come, when he says, ready or not, here I come, we're going to hear millions of people screaming and trying to find a hiding place from the glory of God. So that's what we're going to look at today. It's really more of a preparation for that day, but we'll get into this timing thing as well. And I think, you know, one of the questions, just to kind of set this up a little bit for us, is that, you know, what if Jesus came today, what would he find in your life? A lot of sin, Jeff said. You know, it's the reality you'll see is that we need to be ready because he's going to come at a day and an hour that no one expects. And many people think they have more time. I would tell you the thing that breaks my heart more than anything as I meet with brothers and sisters in Christ is that they have all these tomorrows. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. Tomorrow I'm going to change my life. Tomorrow I'm going to stop doing this. And it goes on, and year after year, really what you see is most Christians aren't changing, as Ed prayed today. They're just not changing. They're stuck in this pattern of sinfulness and really just worldliness. Let me just read you this little parable from William Barclay. He says, there's a fable which tells of three apprentice devils who were coming to the earth to finish their apprenticeship. They were talking directly to Satan, the chief of the devils, about their plans to tempt and ruin mankind. The first demon said, I will tell them there is no God. Satan said, "That will not delude many, for they know there is a God." The second demon said, "I will tell men there is no hell." Satan answered, You will deceive no one that way. Men know, even now, that there is a hell for sin." And then the third demon said, "I will tell men there is no hurry. Go," said Satan, "and you will ruin men by the thousands." It's the great deception is that we have all the time in the world to deal with these things and address our behaviors and our sinful patterns. But the reality is two things. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. And the second thing we don't know is when we would go home. Amen? So that's kind of the setting, and I'm going to be going over three applications. I'm going to give them to you now, and we'll reinforce them in a little bit, but it's be alert, be ready, and be faithful. Be alert, be ready, and be faithful. That's what we'll talk about. But let's work through the text first. So, but concerning the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven or the Son, but the Father only. You know, we can see clearly, as we've been studying here, Jesus revealed to the disciples and us through the Word of God many signs, right? We have many indications, and we'll know certain things that it's getting closer to that day. We know, for example, that the tribulation is going to be 7 years, and the great tribulation is going to be 3.5 years. And then all these signs he told us about what's coming, the abomination of desolation, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls, the false Christ, the sun, the moon, and the stars falling, and then the Son of Man will return in the great power of glory. But what we don't know is when Jesus will return in all these signs. Specifically when. And that's what the disciples want to know. So Jesus makes it very clear to them, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, not the Son of God, but the Father only. Now it's amazing that the angels don't know. I mean, the angels, as we know from the Word of God, live in heaven. They live in the presence of God. They have an intimate relationship with him. They worship him. They live in complete obedience. But God says, "I have not even revealed to them the day and the hour of the returning of the Son." And then Jesus says, "Nor does the Son know." Well, how can this be? The very Son of God does not know the hour or the day of his own return. But I think that Jesus is clearly referring that he did not know the day or the hour while he was still on earth. Because we know Bible teaches us that during his earthly ministry, when he was fully man and fully God, he had laid aside some of his divine attributes and submitted his life to the obedience of God. And just look up here for a second, just verifying that through Philippians 2:6, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. He had laid it aside to live a completely obedient life, sinless life before God the Father. I would also say, you know what's really, just as a side tangent here, what's great about this reality about Jesus Christ is that in doing that, by laying aside some of his divine attributes, he proved to us that we too can live the victorious life in Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. So that's how he demonstrated is that, so here we are as children of God. He's given us the very Spirit of God to live within us. He's given us the very living Word of God to follow. He is at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us. We have the power of sin no longer has authority over our life as it did before we were born again. We now have the power to say no to Satan, amen? We have the power to say no to Satan, and Jesus demonstrated by living this life himself that if we submit to this the authority and the guidance of the Scriptures and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live the obedient life that God desires. Isn't that awesome? And I would say, do we? Not fully, but do we have the power to do it? We do. So that's the good news about that. It's just, but so we see that now Jesus does know the hour and the day, and we see that after his resurrection, he says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." But at this point, when Jesus is speaking to the disciples, he did not know. What's the point is that we will not know the day of the hour of Jesus' return. Amen? We will not know. Now, have you noticed that we're constantly trying to figure out what that day and that hour is? Mankind is? It is amazing that man keeps trying to figure out the day and the hour. And I just, for fun, I'm just going to share some of the prophecies throughout history of the church of Jesus' coming. There's three theologians that predicted Jesus would return on the year 500 AD. These three Christian theologians predicted that would be the year he'd come. And one of these theologians based his prediction on the dimensions of Noah's Ark. Don't ask me how that mathematical figure came out, but that's one of the beliefs. There's a Pope Sylvester II believed that January 1st, the year 1000, was the year that Jesus would return. And then after the year January 1st, 1000 came, he said, okay, well, he didn't come. Well, maybe it was 1033, 1,000 years after Jesus resurrected to heaven. Then that year came. And that's what happens with a lot of these. By the way, if you're going to predict the day, make sure it's after a day you're dead. That'd be probably a good time to predict. Another one was predicted to be February 20th, 1524, because there was a planetary alignment in Pisces that this astrologer said this certainly will be the return of Jesus Christ. I like this one. This lady predicted that Jesus would return December 25th, 1814. She was 64 years old, and she professed that she was pregnant with the Christ child. And guess what? I don't think God liked that prophecy, because on December 25th, 1814, she died. And when they did the autopsy, she wasn't even pregnant. Here's another one. This is the founder, one of the founders of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Have you heard of that? Here's what he said, and I like his approach. This is good. He's the leader, Charles Taze Russell. He says, he presided over Watchtower, Jehovah's Witness. He calculated the year would be 1874, would be the year of Christ's second coming. And then after that day came, until his death, he taught that Jesus did come, but he was invisibly present. That's a good one, right? He came, but no one could see him. And then something else happened to him here, though. Then ruling, he said he's invisibly present, ruling from the heavens from that date prophesied. So he says, my prophecy came true. But then the rest of it didn't, because he proclaimed Christ's invisible return in 1874, the resurrection of the saints in 1875, and he predicted the end of the harvest and a rapture of the saints to heaven in 1878, and then the final day of wrath in 1914. None of that happened. By the way, which proves that the Jehovah's Witness is a false religion, because they have a false prophecy that never came true. It's a cult. Another cult. Anybody remember Sun Myung Moon? Do you remember that? Yeah, that cult. Well, his followers actually believed he was Jesus Christ. That was their belief. So that was 1917. A couple more. There's so many of them. Anybody hear of Harold Camping? Yeah, Harold Camping. You got to throw him in here when you're talking about prophecy. By the way, very good Bible teacher, family radio. He just really kind of lost it with this prophecy of the end times. His first prophecy was September 6th, 1994. He wrote a book. And he predicted he'd come back then. When he didn't, he came back with another prediction later in his life for March 21st, 2011. And when that didn't happen, he came back with another one October 21st, 2011. And obviously none of those have come true. And there's been many other ones. I'm not going to read anymore. I'm just giving you the idea that for some reason we keep trying to predict the day. But what does Jesus tell us in the scripture today? No one will know. Not the angels of heaven, not the Son of Man, but only God. So these theologians should read that and say, we're never going to figure this out. In fact, let me show you how much Jesus stressed this just within a few paragraphs. Look at this. The verse we started with today, but concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Again, he says in Matthew 24:42, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Matthew 24:44, therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24:50, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know. And lastly, Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour. So will we be able to determine the day and the hour of Jesus' return? No. And let me ask you this now, let's get to some application. Why did God prevent us from knowing the day and the hour? Why doesn't he want us to know? Let me give it to you in a simplistic illustration. You know, with children, you have to do surprise checks. You know what I'm saying? You got to do a surprise check on the room if it's clean. And you, another thing with kids is you have to do surprise inspections whether they brush their teeth or not. And make sure they're not just wetting the toothbrush. You got to do a little more thorough investigation. And why do you have to do that? With kids, you have to do that. What if we told your kids, listen, we're going to inspect your room on Fridays, and I'm going to check, make sure you're brushing your teeth every night, but we're just going to check you on Fridays. What is the sinful thing that even comes into a little one at that time? Good, I don't have to brush my teeth Monday through Thursday, right? I mean, it just comes to them that way. So the idea of spot inspections is it's accountability. Maybe when you were in school, there was something called pop quizzes. Why would a teacher do pop quizzes? What's that? Because they're mean, my wife said, because they're mean. Because they want to make sure it's accountability. You know you do have to do your homework because you never know what's going to be in class that day. See, because God knows our sinful nature, and he knows if he gave us the date, the hour, and the time, we would procrastinate. So let's just say December 25th, 2035, we knew that day. What's going to happen? I think unbelievers, if they were told that day, they would put off self-examination. They would put off really even looking into the gospel. They would think they have all the time in the world. There's no reason to examine this Jesus thing because it's so far off. I don't need to worry about it right now. I might as well just have fun and enjoy the world and then later get to this issue of heaven and hell. And I think, sadly, for believers, we would get lazy too, wouldn't we? I don't think we'd feel the sense of urgency with our own sanctification, with our own becoming more like Jesus. I think there wouldn't be this sense that, hey, tomorrow might be the day. I got to get my house in order. And I think we'd also lose our sense of urgency for the Great Commission of sharing the gospel. So you see, we don't know the day and hour because we need this accountability, just like a kid does when he's supposed to brush his teeth. We need to think about it this way, that tomorrow might be the day. But brothers and sisters, the reality is, even if he had given us the day and time of, let's say, December 25th, 2035, do you know the day you're going to face judgment? Could it be today? Could be today. So with that, we should always be ready because no one really knows the day we're going to come before the judgment seat of God. So let's look at Jesus' teaching on this. And here's what he tells his disciples. So no one's going to know the day or hour, but listen to this. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, there was eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So, I mean, think about this. What's the parallels Jesus is making between Noah's event of the flood of the earth and of Jesus' return? First of all, we know that the sinfulness of mankind during the time of Noah was extreme. It was over the top, so much that God had to judge the world. Well, when Jesus returns, the same thing is going to be true. As Ed even prayed, just how sin is ramped up in just a short period of time in our own lives, how much sin is more accepted within our culture. So it's going to be a very sinful world, just like it was at the time of Noah. So that's one of the similarities that we see in that. The second one is that just like in Noah's day, God is coming to judge the world. Jesus is coming to judge the world, just like God did during the time of Noah. And we also know, just like the time of Noah, there will be lots of signs. People will be given signs so they'll have time to repent. They'll be seeing all the seven seals, the seven trumpets, all these things going on, earthquakes, wars. It's in the Word of God. They'll be given these signs so they'll have God's desires that they would repent. What signs did they have during Noah's time? Noah was building the ark for 120 years. And he was preaching and teaching people, repent, the judgment of God is coming. So they had the signs of watching this huge ark being built and hearing the preaching of God's word through Noah. That was their sign. But also, like in the time of Noah, that it will be a sudden reality when Jesus returns, just like it was for Noah. See, these people, they heard Noah preaching year after year. They saw this thing, the ark, being built. They kept ignoring it. They kept getting married and living life as usual, totally ignoring the warnings of Noah until, it says, right? Until that day was here. They weren't expecting it. They thought it would just continue. After 120 years, he's just going to keep working on this thing. He went in and shut the door with his family. And then the floods came. And sadly, then they realized that what Noah had been saying was true. But was it too late? It was too late. And Jesus is going to be the same thing when I come back. There will be a lot of signs, a lot of opportunities to repent, but basically, as we've already seen, most people will reject the gospel, and they will know when Jesus returns, but it'll be too late. The day of salvation will be over. It'll be the day of judgment, just like it was in Noah's time. And brother, sister, is that hard for us to believe? Isn't there somebody in your family, friends, that you've been sharing the gospel with for year after year after year, and their hearts are just hardened to the truth about God? So we see it already. We see that this is reality in the end times. It'll be like the times of Noah. You know what else is reality is he uses Noah, but he could have used his first coming, right? Think about that. The first coming of Jesus Christ, what did he do? He healed everyone of everything. He walked on water. He calmed storms. He raised the dead. He commanded the demons. He fed the thousands with a few loaves and fish. He proved undeniably that he was the very Son of God. But what could they muster up to say, well, this isn't the Son of God? They mustered up, well, he must be getting this power from Satan. They denied, they refused to believe even then, just like they will on the second coming too. I can almost hear the excuses when all these signs start coming, can't you? The people will say, first of all, I believe the rapture will take place. What do you think they're going to say? Why do these people all disappear? Come on, what would be one of the reasons that we'll see in the press? Aliens abducted them. I'm sure we're going to see that. First, they're going to blame it on Trump, by the way. But then they'll go to aliens. They'll blame it on aliens. And then all these earthquakes and storms, what do you think they're going to do next? Global warming. It's the pollution. They're going to continue to find reasons not to believe that these signs are of God's sending of his son. Let me just give you a picture here a little bit of what it's going to look like in my eschatology. I know not everybody agrees with a pre-trib, but I'll keep praying for them. So if you could picture this, and I'll give you another reason why I believe pre-trib right here. Because, see, so the world's going to get worse and worse, and we're going to have to live through that as we are right now. And then God will rapture the dead first, and then those who believe, truly born again, will be raised up with God. That's the pre-tribulation rapture. And why the pre-trib makes sense to me, and another reason which I didn't give you last time, is that there has to be a reason for the Antichrist to raise to power. There has to be a reason for the Antichrist to be given authority over the world. So the world has to get very, very bad. And how does it get really bad? Because all the Christians have been taken off the earth. But not just the Christians. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? It dwells within the believers. So the Holy Spirit will also be pulled away from earth during the rapture. And that is the only reason that the Antichrist can even come into power, because the restraint of God's hand on this fallen world will be lifted, and Satan and the demonic army will be given more power over this world. Does that make sense to you? And I only tell you that because you can see how bad things are going to get because the Holy Spirit pulls away. And things are going to get awfully sinful here on this earth. Now, the good news is, let me just show you a little good news. You want ready for some good news? Okay, here's some good news. Look here from Revelation 7. I love this. And after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. No one could number. That's how many there were. From every nation, every tribe, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they all fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, there will be billions of people, and most will be lost, but there will be countless saved during the great tribulation, which will stand before the glory of God. Okay, let's get to some application. You ready? Try to get ready. Are you ready to get ready? Yeah, okay, good. So here's what Jesus tells us. Based on all this, that it'll be sudden and you know, that no one knows the day or the hour. He says, first thing he tells us here is be alert. Be alert. He says, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Now, we don't know which one of those are saved. Some people believe that those that are taken are saved and to go to the kingdom of God. Some think that those are left going to the kingdom of God. It really doesn't matter. The point is that there will be a sudden division, a sudden day of judgment. It'll be so sudden that they're working in the field together. One's gone and one's still there. Ladies are at these grinding mills. I don't even know what that looks like, but they're working on this. They're grinding grain and one's gone and one's there. It's going to be a sudden event, this day of judgment. It's coming suddenly. And so he says, what? Therefore, stay awake, be alert, for you do not know that day that your Lord is coming. Do you see that? It's a pop quiz. We have to be ready. We have to be alert. So here's the challenge, is that daily we need to be alert. Daily, we need to be getting up as we do our quiet time with God and realizing that today could be the day. He may return or we may return to Him, but today could be the day. So every day, we have to be telling ourselves, that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be in accountability. He wants us to be alert to the reality that this event could happen at any time, and that should drive our behavior into a pursuit of godliness. Are you with me? So be alert, he says. It's going to happen suddenly. You're not going to have a lot of time to pack your bags. Wherever you are, it's going to happen in an instant. So the first one is to be alert. Then he says, secondly, to be ready. Look at this one. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. What does that mean? So we're to be alert. It's this constant reminder to ourselves that at any moment, the day of judgment could come. And then to be ready, I think the first thing we have to make sure of, brothers and sisters, is that we're saved. Right? There's nothing more important to be ready than to make sure with absolute no doubt that you are a child of God. Are you a child of God? Have you fully surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Does the Spirit live within you? When you read the Word in the morning, are you just in the presence of God? Does He speak to you? In your prayer time, do you feel close to God? Are you with Him in your prayer time? Do you see the fruits of the Spirit in your life growing year after year? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Do you see those growing year after year? Are you becoming more like Jesus? I mean, you got to be sure that you're saved. Amen? So then, I'm going to assume you're all saved. If not, I pray you get saved today. But then the next thing is for us to be ready is we need to be sanctified. Every day it has to be a high priority that we're becoming more like Jesus, that we're growing up, we're becoming mature in our faith. That's packing your bags. That's getting ready for Jesus' return. And the third, last thing is here. So be alert. That's the constant reminder every day that today could be the day. Be ready is salvation and sanctification. It's got to be a high priority in our life, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then the last one is to be faithful. To be faithful. Look what he says here. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find do so doing when he comes. That's faithfulness. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all possessions. There's the rewards of God for those that are faithful. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and he will do, I mean, Jesus gets nasty here. He says, he will cut him into pieces and put him with the hypocrites in a place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does that sound pretty extreme to you? That's Jesus speaking. That sounds pretty extreme to me. And he says, it's a strong call to be faithful. And what does that mean? It means to persevere in the faith. To persevere in the faith. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You got to patiently continue to choose to live the godly life that he called us to. Are you with me? You know, I've shared this with some of you before, but it was probably a year ago or so. You know, God revealed something to me in my life that I was entering. I just talked to Demetrius about this on Wednesday, but it was probably over a year ago now, but I was in my devotion time, and God clearly revealed to me that I was entering the season of David on the balcony. And what was clear to me, it was God's revelation, is because I'm entering a season where I'm getting close to retirement from the workplace, which means I'm going to have more time, and I have resources to do what I want to do. I could go sit on a beach for the rest of my life and collect seashells. And if you know me at all, that's never going to happen. But God revealed that to me for a reason, because that means there's going to be a temptation for me to enter the balcony season. And what should David have done? He was supposed to stay on the battlefield. It was a time of wars. But he had money and time, which put him on the balcony, which led him into Bathsheba. And I'm only telling you that because that was a great wake-up call for me. I'm never leaving the battlefield. You're going to see an old, wrinkled-up old man up here from time to time. I mean, Tyler's going to do more work, but I'm going to still come up here and bring the word as long as God allows me to. Because I am not going to leave the battlefield. And that's a call to you. You're all in different seasons of your life. You got to evaluate what God's calling you to. And are you slipping? Are you falling back into the ways of the world? Are you falling into sinful patterns of your life? Do you want Jesus to return and you're looking at pornography on your computer? Do you want to return and Jesus return and you're drunk? Are you with me? We got to determine to live this righteous life because we know it's going to be sudden. He's going to come back and we want to be ready. I need your help to be ready. And I want to help you be ready. You good with that? And don't get me wrong. We're always fighting. I don't know about you, and I'm just confessing to you, I have temptations that are very strong in my life. Do you? And it's not that I ever have complete victory. I give in to my temptations from time to time, but here's my determination. I will never stop fighting. I will never stop repenting. I will never stop returning. I will never stop fighting. And that's where we got to be. I'm not telling you you're going to live the victorious life and become some super saints, but I'm telling you, you've got to be determined that you're never going to give up. That's what he's talking about here. And lastly is just this, is just summarize it. You know, it's pretty straightforward. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Every one of us reaps what we sow. Amen? So what are the three? Be alert, be ready, and be faithful. They're in your bulletin. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your teaching. We thank you, Jesus, for your clear teaching of these end days. And Father, we confess that we don't know when you're returning, and we're not going to try to figure it out, that's for sure. But we pray we will be ready, we'll be alert, and we'll be faithful. Whether you call us home or you come back to get us, whichever one it is, help us, Lord Jesus. Pray this in your precious name. Amen.